Good morning, everybody. That was awesome worship. Amen. Welcome to church. My name is Michelle, and it's my honor and privilege to present the abundance message today. I know we just sat down, but can we stand up? I want us to start by having us declare something from Dr. Miles Monroe. Okay, it says, I was not born to make a living, but I was born to make a difference. Amen. You can be seated. I believe that's why we're all here today. Amen. We're not here for a good show, but out of a desire to truly know where God wants us positioned to make that difference. For those of you attending service today for the first time, I want to let you know, this weekend has been set aside to hear from God through the office of the prophets and apostles through presbytery. I believe this time was divinely orchestrated for us as we are seeking confirmation of what God already planted in us from the beginning we were formed and to receive the impartation needed to fulfill that. Just because you are not directly prophesied over doesn't mean that God will not confirm his will for you during this time. If something said speaks to you, grab a hold of it. Amen. Don't let it go because it will come to pass. Amen. In order to do so, I titled my message, Positioned to Receive. I, for one, am not a sports person. I'm totally lost in it. But one thing I do know, like in a game of football, if the receiver is not positioned where he should be, he misses the play. So same like us. If we want to position ourselves correctly, then we need to know how to do it. Whew. In order to position ourselves to receive what God has for us today, through those he has sent, we need to give first. God's way is not the way of the world that says, I will give when I receive. He says, you give so that you can receive. God demonstrated this so much when he gave his only son in order that we could receive life eternal. In Matthew 10:41, it says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. You know, when Warren and I came to the church, we learned early on from Pastor Mike and Pastor Debbie about the principle of giving first to open us up to receive. Yes. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. Yes. And in John 14:15, God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes. You know, I want to go to the story of Elijah and the widow woman. In 1 Kings 17:9-16, God told Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath. You know, and interestingly, Zarephath means refine. Near the city of Sidon, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. If this widow had not given first to the mighty prophet who was sent by God, she would have not received the provision she needed. In the following verses in that chapter, her son died, but Elijah raised him up. Her reception and giving to Elijah as a man sent by God allowed her to receive what was needed, for I believe God knew what she needed and what was going to happen, and he provided for her because of her obedience. Her disobedience would not only have meant her life, but her legacy. Whew. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Apostle C, Sister Shirley, Apostle Mullen, and Sister Helen have been serving God for decades, and they have been tested and proved through the fires, but they are here and still serving God and continuously expanding the kingdom. They are here to build the church, not their own agenda. They have a powerful anointing, and if you want what they have, you need to step up and go after it. Character things like endurance, a heart after God, wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit, and more. As part of the body, we need those things. We need to start off strong, but finish even stronger. If we want that, we need to go after it. We need to give and sow into the ministry. I'm not going to sugarcoat any of this, and I'm not going to downplay the importance of giving in order to receive, because it's critical. It is a critical part of your walk to fulfill the destiny God's given you. Those of you who are here to receive, I want you to raise your hand, no matter if you're a child. If you are here to receive, raise your hand up. Ushers, can you please hand out the giving slips to everyone who's raised their hand? Don't put them down unless you're giving a couple. You are sowing into good ground. So position yourself to receive first. I mean, to give first so that you can receive. You are not to give of your tithes. That goes to pay for the Levites of this house if this is your home church. If you are from another church, your tithe belongs there. But out of your offering, you give. So if you've received an envelope, okay, if there is anyone here, no matter what age, if you want to give because you believe God has something for you and you want to receive from this ministry, keep your hand raised. God wants to not make it a spectacle where it's you don't have. He wants to provide so that you can give and receive. Okay. Here at the Ark, we have three ways to give on the screen behind me. And as I said, we are taking up a special offering for Apostle C and Apostle Mullen. You can write that on the other line that says other. Guests, we welcome and value you. And if someone comes by to greet you and places a blessing in your hand, please receive it. Because God says, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. As you fill out your giving, please give your tithes and offerings in the basket up front, because God says to present yourself. There is a song that I want to have played. It's not our typical giving song, but it's powerful because I believe if we position ourselves to hear what the song says, to seek after God and let it be our desire, I believe God is going to release an impartation to you to take you to the next level.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm kind of commandeering the microphone. I'm Pastor Jake. I'm the lead pastor of this church, and this is not something that we do often here, but when the Spirit of the Lord tells us to do something, we do it. And today, this is not to put anybody in a place of feeling embarrassed or whatever, but I believe that it is so important that you have the opportunity to sow today if you want to. that there might be someone here, it may be a young one, it may be not a young one, but you just don't have anything to give today. If you don't have anything to give, I've got some right here that I have extra that I want to put some in your hand. Now, the Bible says this. Listen carefully. The Bible says that God will give seed to the sower. And today, it might be me who gets to provide seed to you on behalf of God. It might be someone else around you. But please listen. You might think to yourself, well, if I just give someone else's money, then it's someone else's money. No, once it's given, it's yours. And then you make the choice with what gets put into your hand, what it is that you want to give. It's yours. So today, without any kind of incredible fanfare of any type, I just felt very strongly to just find out if there's anyone in here that you want to be a giver, but you don't have anything to give. If that's you, there is no embarrassment at all. God specifically told me that because he knew that you were here. God knows what you need. And if that's you today, would you just be bold enough? There's people all around you, I'm sure that there are, that will just walk right up to you and give you some seed to sow. If that's you today and you don't have seed to sow, but you want to be a giver, because God gives seed to the sower, you want to be a sower today. If that's you, would you very quickly just slip your hand up, somebody around you, if it's not me, I'm going to walk right down here and I'm going to give some. I see that hand right there. Is there anybody else? Come on, there's hands that are popping up. If you've got extra and you want to, sorry guys, I'm going to step on your blanket. Is there anybody else you need seed? There's some in the back, all the way in the back. You see, God wants you to be a sower. Why? Because he wants you to be a reaper. And if there is no sowing, there can be no reaping. So God needs to get some seed into your hand so you can put it into the ground so that you can reap a harvest. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants you to have a harvest. Amen? You'll never know on any given day in this church how much money changes hands. It's an amazing thing. You don't even know that it's happening, but it's happening. Now, I want to believe right now that everyone that needs some seed has got some seed. And if you've got seed in your hand, you can turn from being a receiver into a giver. The Bible says that Satan is a thief. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. But the nature of God is the nature of a giver. And today, you can choose the nature of God by switching over from a taker to a giver. And so I expect that when you give today, that the anointing that's in this house is going to come upon you and you are going to be touched by a harvest that you never even expected could come. God's got something in store for you. I'm going to be giving big today, and I hope that you'll give as the Lord leads you to give as well. Michelle?
Amen. Thank you for that confirmation, Pastor Drake. So why don't we go ahead, fill out your giving slips and present it to God. Let it be consumed. And go ahead, Kyle, you can play that. After you greet the guests, just return back to your chair, and I want you folks to listen to the song and let it resonate in your spirit. Amen. If we can all stand and raise your hands towards the offering, bless it. Father, I just thank you, Father, for each and every one who has given, Lord, and sown into you, Lord, that we trust you, we trust your word that will come to pass, Lord, in our lives. I thank you that we've sown into good ground and know that it will bring forth a harvest, Lord, not for our glory, but for yours. I thank you, Father, that our desire is to be used by you, God, and I thank you, Father, that as we surrender and yield, God, I thank you that you are building a legacy in us, Lord, that this will go beyond the now, Lord, but will reach generations to come. I thank you, Father, and we bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, did you give well today? As long as you gave what God told you to give, you gave well. Well, I just want to say I know that you're so disappointed that there weren't any announcements today. And although it's a tragedy for you that there were no announcements, I do want to let you know that you can find out everything that's going on at the Ark Christian Church by simply going to our calendar of events located on our website, or you can go right to our app if you've downloaded our app. If you have not, you should do that. But go ahead and download our app, and you can click right on the tab that says events there, and you'll be able to find out what's going on throughout the week. Finally, for those of you that are in our Connect groups, if you're not in a Connect group, you need to be in a Connect group. And we have some information at the Welcome Center later where you can find a Connect group in your area that will work for you so that you can get connected to people that are connected to the house. And so we invite you to join us and find out what's going on throughout the week there. If you need the questions for this week, they're not available for you yet. So you're going to need to go to our website later on, probably tomorrow, and download that so you can either fill it out as a PDF or you can print it out, however you'd like to do it. But that's where you're going to find the questions for this week, probably tomorrow, okay? All right, let me just kind of give you some insight into what's going on for today. We've got right about an hour left in our service. And what's going to happen is that I'm going to invite Apostle Kenneth Stracy to come and minister to us. He has 150 years of ministry experience, which is amazing because he's only 55. But he's going to be ministering the word of God to build your faith. And after we do that, we're going to invite some folks to the stage that we're actually going to be installing today through the avenue of presbytery, according to the word of God. We're going to be installing them as people who are under shepherds. They are care leaders for our flock. They're going to be actually helping you to be cared for, to be followed up with, to actually be pastored in a bit more personal way than Pastor Jolie and I can do all by ourselves with all of you out there. And so we're so excited about what God's going to do in their life because God's going to elevate them to be able to minister to you in a very effective way. So we're going to minister to them. And then if there's some more time left, then we're going to minister to some people that are not on that particular list. If you aren't on that list, but you want to hear from God, let me tell you how you can do it. Very quickly, all you have to do is have your spiritual ears attuned to the Spirit of God. The spirit of prophecy is in this place, and that is the testimony of Jesus. I guarantee you that if you tune yourself in to the right frequency, the right station in the Holy Spirit, God will speak to you today. It might sound like a word that's for someone else, but bam, it's going to hit you right in your spirit, and you just grab a hold of that, write it down, record it, whatever, so that you can make sure you get a hold of the word of God for your life. Amen? But we're going to believe God that he'll speak to you personally right there. Download from the Spirit of God. Remember, anything that's said today in the prophetic is not for information, but it is absolutely for confirmation. And God's going to be confirming his word that he's already spoken to people's hearts. And some people might cry, they might laugh, whatever. All of that stuff is in the Bible. If you need me to point it out for you, I can do that later on. But I'm telling you, anything that you're about to experience today is all biblical, and you're going to enjoy the presence of God. Would you pull on the anointing as we ask Apostle Kenneth Stracy to come and minister the word of God to us? Would you please give a very, very warm welcome for Apostle Emmanuel Kenneth Stracy?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. You like that guy? Isn't he something else? I like this church. I've been coming to the Ark for 18 years in the beautiful, beautiful country club. And then in another building that was a wreck, and you guys fixed it up and made it beautiful. And we shouted and praised God there. And then you moved, and now you're here. And let me prophesy. Want to hear some good news? The Lord spoke to me that you're going to have your own building in a real good neighborhood to reach your community. And it isn't just going to be for that community, but this entire island is going to be affected by what God is doing in and through you. Got a special calling, a special dispensation. Now, I can't take that whole hour that he's given me. Every great comeback in history, and by the way, every one of you and everybody in the Bible is a comeback person. There's not one person in the Bible, not one, except Jesus Christ. Only Jesus. Not one. I got to get this to you because taking from Pastor Mel's or Apostle Mel's message, you have the wrong opinion of yourself. Every great comeback in history began with a fresh vision. It's not where you start. It's what you become. Jonah started out running away from God. Scared, spitless, and prejudiced, and disobeyed God. But he ended up influencing a whole nation where hundreds of thousands of people obeyed God, fasted, and prayed. Let me hear a hallelujah about that. One man running from God, disobedient, ended up. Now, somebody walked up to me when I said he ended up in the fish's belly, and they said, we happen to know that whales do not have a strong enough stomach or a big enough stomach to swallow a man. Well, the Bible said God prepared a big fish. And so, this true story, little boy, come here, little boy about this age, he was in our church, and he rode a bus to Sunday school because his parents didn't come. But they allowed him to come. And he had his little Bible, and he had his little quarterly of the lesson that they were being taught. And he got on the bus after church and sat down next to a man with a briefcase, dressed in a beautiful suit and a top coat. And he said, hey, young man, where have you been? He said, I've been to Sunday school. I've been to church. And what's that you got in your hand? He said, it's a Bible. A Bible? Do you believe that? Old men who sat by the fireside wrote that. It's a bunch of fables. Oh, no. Oh, no. That is God's word. God's word. There is no God. He said, yes, there is. And I want you to know. Well, you don't believe that story about a fish swallowing a man. Oh, he said, yes, I do. The Bible says he even prayed in the fish's belly. He said, how do you know? You can't prove it. He said, yes, I can. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if that didn't happen. The man said, well, what if he's not there? I said, then you're going to have to ask him. So if you don't believe, it's your fault. I believe. I believe the word of God. So every human being in this world has a destiny, has a calling, has a purpose. And the reason millions commit suicide, they haven't found their purpose. The reason millions of people are on drugs and alcoholic and shooting up stuff in their veins and popping pills is because they don't know who they are and why they're on this planet. What is the meaning to life? Not only Jonah, but Thomas. Thomas started out racked by doubt, by unbelief, by uncertainty, but ended up taking the gospel to India, where millions heard the gospel. Moses did nothing significant for the first two-thirds of his life, which I find encouraging, but ended up delivering 2 million people from centuries of slavery. Jacob started out a liar and a crook, and he up become a leader, a great man of faith. Timothy started out shy, fearful, and insecure, but ended up becoming a protege of the greatest apostle other than Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. And Paul, the apostle himself, are you ready for this? Killed Christians. Some, I felt like killing at one time. God sanctified me, got me through that. What I want to do before I give you my scripture is to tell you that every one of you are a comeback person. And you haven't arrived, but you're going to arrive if you listen to what I preach. Go to the book of Samuel, the 30th chapter, and verses 1 to 18. Now, you know the story. Mel told it last night, and I want to preach it to you. David, who more was written about in the Bible than any other character except Jesus Christ. David, the most renowned personality. In fact, the best thing I ever heard from the mouth of the Lord in the Word of God was David had, he was a man of God's own heart. He had God's heart. Now watch this. And he served his generation well in the fear of God. And afterward, fell asleep. God said more about David. And oh, he wrote some beautiful songs. But some of the songs, you could tell that he himself was going through hardships and difficulties. He even had emotional problems. He cried. He wet the bed, not the bottom of the bed, but crying. I just didn't want anybody to think I was unholy here. He cried himself to sleep. He was tortured in his mind by all kinds of misgivings, all kinds of fears. He was hated. He was despised. And he lived like a man that was wanted because there were wanted posters all over. Reward, dead or alive, they wanted David dead. Okay, now, here's the story. 1 Samuel. David was anointed king, and it was a great prophecy that was said by a great prophet, Samuel. He was anointed king, but for years he ran as almost a criminal, almost to hide in caves and lived in the wilderness He was told he was going to be king, going to live in a palace, going to have a royal, you know, a royal welcome. And he lived on the run. Now watch this. The story starts out gloomy. But what the story that is so impacting my life is the fact that this man with prophecy, this man who sang all those songs to Jesus, who played his harp and was in love with God and heard God and had God vindicate him, a lion and a bear, and killed Goliath. And he was on the hit parade. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. I mean, he was number one personality. But he kept thinking in 1 Samuel 27 that Saul's going to kill me. And look how he said it in this weak moment. He said, Saul is going to kill me. Not, I think he's going to kill me. He said, he's going to kill me. It is certain of my death, my demise, because Saul had been seeking to kill him. And so what did he do? He didn't ask God. He didn't do what I do every day of my life. God, I'm in this automobile. I want you to protect me. I'm in this automobile in traffic in Hawaii. Oh, I plead the blood. I want to tell you why I do that. You cannot understand this, that five Kansas City people within a year and a half had their cars totaled. Five. Three of my daughters had their cars totaled. My granddaughter, 6 months pregnant, car totaled. By the way, not one of them a scratch, not one of them in the hospital. Can you say hallelujah? But it's every day that I pray for protection that God will cover my children and my 12 grandchildren and my 2 great-grandchildren. I don't want to get in an automobile that weighs a ton and somebody hit me with one that weighs 2 ton like Pastor Jake's truck. I don't want to do that unless I know that God is with me and driving with me. Come on, hallelujah. David made a bad decision. He went into the enemy's camp. He joined the people that hated God and hated the Jews. In a weak moment, he was looking for a neutral location. He moved in the enemy's territory. Best thing to do, he thought. Now, I'm going to give you several points. Decision determines destiny. David found out that he made the wrong decision. At the lowest point in his whole life, and I mean he had low, low moments, David compromised. He joined Achish, king of Gath. He endangered his whole family. He endangered all of his loyal comrades, 600 men who would have died for David, would have taken a bullet for him, who loved him, who came to him, went through the hardships with him. They were there. David was out of the will of God, just like every one of us have been, but not out of God's love ever, not out of God's care, not out of God's reach. We all go through fiery trials. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, don't be surprised by the fiery trials, but be glad. 5:8, remember your brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same things. When I think of what happens, the worst floods, the worst tornadoes, the worst hurricanes, the worst tsunamis, the worst fires in America's history have taken place in the last 2 years. The worst. Everybody say the worst. The worst. That millions of people lost their homes. Millions of people lost every personal item. Millions of people. And yet, I've got good news that every one of them, if they put their faith and trust in God, they're going to be a comeback person. Come on, come on, come on. They will be a comeback person. God is a restorer. God is a God of love and mercy. And God knew what was going to happen and could have prevented it. We do not know or ever will know why he didn't prevent it. But he's still God ready. Wherever you're at in your life, whatever problem you're going through, whatever test or trial, whatever difficulty, if it's finances, if it's your job, if it's your children, if they're delinquent, if you can't get them to obey, if you feel like you're going to get a divorce, you feel like it's time, you know, just to drop out, I want to tell you something. God's hand is reaching out to you. You can be a comeback person. One of my favorite actors, you know, a very funny guy. He made millions. He made Academy Award movies. But he hung himself in his garage with all the talent, Rob Williams. He just absolutely lost the desire to live, hopelessness. His millions didn't satisfy. His fame didn't satisfy. There was nobody his equal in talent. And yet, he did not reach out to God, though God had reached out to him. I want to tell you, you don't have to live in despair, live in fear, live in worry, live downcast, live unhappy, live miserable, hate to see another day, hate to go to work, hate to go to school, hate to go to church. You can live a victorious life, a life full of joy. If you have joy, will you raise your hands and shout, act like it. You don't look like it, act like it. Let me give you the basic law of psychology. If you act the way you want to feel, you soon will be feeling like you're acting. Ah, hallelujah. Smile. Show your teeth. No, brother, don't take your teeth out. Just show them. If you're saved, you're happy. The only happiness in this world is in the heart of a born-again, blood-washed son or daughter of God. And your face should show it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said, put up your hands. You're not shouting. I want to hear the ark shout again. I love you. You're dynamic people. And tell your face right now. You got to look like 9:15. When the clock is 9:15, the hands are straight across. Not 6 o'clock. Come back. Come back. Come back to your first love. Come back to the one you got on your knees and wept before God. Come back to when you danced before God. Come back to when you couldn't see a sinner without inviting him to church. Come back. Come on back. And so what happened is Ziklag was invaded and the Amalekites set him on fire. Burned David's house down, and all 400 men took their wives, took their children, kidnapped them, brought them into their camp. God knows what they were going to do. Rotten, ungodly, hateful, anti-Jewish, anti-God. But you know, the story is sad, so sad that grown men, warriors, I mean, they could hit a bee with their bows and arrows. They could shoot that arrow and they could kill, and they were powerful guys. But now they're weeping, for their wives are gone, their children are gone, their houses burned down. They have no place to go, and they're crying, grown men weeping, until the Bible says they wept until they had no more tears and couldn't weep anymore. David was out of the will of God. Now, we may face separation. I just lost a sister. Beautiful, beautiful one. She traveled with me. She was my pianist. We sang together. She just went to heaven a few months ago, just short of 3 weeks after her birthday. Shirley and I made some spaghetti and meatballs, brought it over to her house, and she was so happy and cheerful. Little did we know, in just 3 or 4 days, she would be in heaven. We all go through these kinds of separations. Emotional distress, pain. It says, the Bible says that David and his men were greatly distressed. Everybody say, greatly. I mean, you may have a dent in your car and weep over it, but that's not great distress. You may have been told that you're going to get a pink slip. That's distressful, but that's not great distress. These guys lost everything. And in their distress, they turned on David. They turned on their leader. They turned on their pastor. They turned on the one that they would have taken a bullet for. And they hated him. Well, I don't know if they hated him. They just wanted to kill him. And they meant it. See, because if anything goes wrong in your house, it's Pastor Jake's fault. I mean, I got the blame. I got the blame when I was pastor. I'm not a pastor. No, I am. I got the blame for the problems. I'd go see people. I haven't seen you in church in 16 weeks. Where have you been? You offended me. Yeah, anything goes wrong, blame the pastor. Take it out on the church. Take it out on God. And they were ready to kill their pastor. Now, let me tell you the difference between Saul and David, what made David a great leader. Saul had no wilderness experience. He was anointed king and immediately came into his kingship. But David was just another king. But he received the power of the Holy Spirit. But he lived in his palace in a smelly cave. He lived on the run. He lived like a fugitive. Now, he could have got angry at God and said, Samuel lied. It's never going to happen. How do you hang on to a promise? How do you hang on to hope?
That's right.
How do you hang on? This is what this whole meeting's about. It's prophetic. You're going to get a word with God's assurance that what he says, he will do.
Amen.
No matter how impossible it seems, no matter how incredible it seems. The author of 1 and 2 Samuel devotes more of his time to the periods of barrenness and brokenness in David's life than he does his prosperity and his success. And I'll tell you why. To be a success, God is going to let you be processed because you sit where the people sit and you can understand their pain and sorrow and despair. And God lets you experience it so that you won't beat on them and scream at them. You got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. I belong to a legal church that everything I did was a sin. I used Brill Cream and they took my Brill Cream and threw it away, but I came back. Hallelujah. Yeah, they did. I literally had them jerk my necktie off. You don't have to wear a necktie. That's worldly. We used to be in that church, and when we saw a woman come to the altar to be saved, the sisters would come with a handkerchief to wash their lipstick off. Jezebel. Aren't you glad I don't belong to that church? Thank you, brother. Don't use it. So God gives you a wilderness experience to experience where everybody else is at, and he takes you through it victoriously because God is faithful. Somebody shout hallelujah. And I've had the worst 2 years of my 86 years. My wife broke her hip. Spent 30 days in the hospital, cried every day to go home. Please take me home. And she would say, if you don't take me home, I'm going to get up and leave this hospital. I said, get up and leave. She couldn't get up. 1 year of that horrible, torturous pain that she went through, and God healed her. Somebody shout hallelujah. Then again, something happened. She had some little spot that appeared on an x-ray. She had bronchitis here in Hawaii, and she just went to get an x-ray, and they spotted a little thing called the cyst, and they wanted to go down her throat with a tube and a machine or something and get a picture of it, take some fluid out. And I said, no way, no way, no way. I kept hearing people say, do it. Even my good doctor friend that was on staff at our church with her husband said, well, we'll get our machine and we'll take a look. And sure enough, they saw a little thing and they said, you don't have to get it done. You can wait 7, 8, 10 months, but you should find out what it is if you can. And then my daughter said, you got to do it, Dad. You got to do it, Dad. And something was telling me, no, 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 no. But like David, I forgot that God's my source, that God could take that little spot, whatever it was, and fix it. All they did was look at it, and the procedure turned my wife where she could not walk, she couldn't keep her head up. She was tortured by pain, screaming. They morphined her every 15 or 20 minutes, keeping her so full of drugs and dope, moved her in 5 different rooms, and everyone had to start over, every nurse. One nurse at 3 o'clock in the morning, they moved her and said to me, what's she here for? I said, you don't know what she's here for? 3 o'clock in the morning, they moved her. Well, I don't have any idea why she's here. What is happening? We got her out of that place. And we just started praying. She hadn't eaten one drop of food or drank one drop of water in 10 days. She couldn't walk. And I said, God, what lesson can I learn out of this? The lesson is that the same God that healed her on her hip when she broke it, the same God can take care of now the result of this awful situation. I am not to worry. I am not to dread. I am a comeback person. Come on. Somebody say, I'm a comeback person. Raise both hands as high as you can. Let the devil know. I'm a comeback person. Hallelujah. So David went through. But all this rejection, all this turning against his leader, you can quit this church. You can get angry. You can divorce your wife or husband. You think all of that is going to solve anything? You know what it did for David? When they were screaming at him, when they said, we hate you, you're responsible. The Bible says, number one, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Put up your hands right now. Encourage yourself. Right now say, Lord, I know you're in control of my house, my family, my job, my career, my body. Yes, Lord, you're a Lord of my life. Lord of everything, not a few things. Hallelujah. Believe that. That's the way you got to live, because this world is falling apart. It is collapsing. It is broken. It is the worst time that's ever happened in the history of this beautiful nation. There is more fighting, more angry, more hatred, more division, more impartations of socialism and atheism and immorality. I could decide to be a girl tomorrow, and I would not be even laughed at. I could desire to marry a monkey, and everybody would think I have the right. Yes, yes, we're living in a culture that's getting rotten. But in the midst of that, God's raising up a comeback people that, come on now, that are going to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Filled with the peace of God. And people are going to say, what is your secret? What a chance to be a witness of Billy Graham. You say, a Billy Graham, one person. Yeah, Jesus ministered to one woman with five husbands. And living with a man in open sin, he took the time to teach her worship. He didn't say, you rotten, dirty sinner, to hell with you. No, he said, the Father wants worship, and he can get worship out of you if you drink this water that I give you. Come on, come on. If you drink the water that I give you, you won't ever have to come to this well to get it. I'll give you the water of life. I'll give you the river you sang about, everybody. I'll give you joy, unspeakable, unfull of glory. I believe that. I've been in the ministry 70 years. And I have never one time in the 70 years seen God fail me. Sometimes he takes longer than I like. Sometimes. All right. David finally did what I believe God's going to do in this church. The men were hateful, dangerous, and desperate. He calmed them down. He started praising the Lord. He was good at worship. He was good at praising God. And then the next thing he did was he said, God, I remember what you did for the lion and the bear. I was only 16 years old, and I tore a lion's mouth open. Thank you. This is nothing. This is nothing too hard for you. Okay. And he started what David called encouraging himself. Put up your hands and say, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can be what God says I can be. I can go where God says I can go. I can do it. He encouraged himself, and the men quieted down, and then he went to these men that had rocks in their hands or stilettos or arrows to kill them. And he said, you there, you there, you there, you there, you there, you. Come here. I'm going to prophesy over you. We're going. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Bring me, priest, bring me the ephod. We haven't asked God what he wants us to do. We're going to ask him. And he got that whole group of 400 men to watch. And the ephod, he said, shall we go and find our wives and children and go to war and fight those Amalekites and destroy them? Or do we have to take it on the limb? No! The answer came. Go! Pursue! Take the spoil and recover all. He got his team together. This church, you're making a total, a tremendous transition. You are becoming a team now. Not just separate people going separate ways, but you're now a team. And you're going into spiritual warfare because you've got permission from God. Go. Take back what the devil has stole from you. Pursue. And they went, and on the way they saw a young man, a kid, and they said, where are you from? Said, I'm an Amalekite. Oh, well, we're looking for the Amalekites. Do you know where they are? They've got, yeah, I said, I heard about the fire. I heard about the tragedy. I know exactly where they are. And if you promise before your God that you won't kill me, I'll take you there. David said, good. And they went. And they saw them drinking. And they saw the party going. And the music going. And all the hoorays. Because they had now captured 400 families. 400 families. What are they going to do? Kill him? Ravish him? What are they going to do? And David's looking at him, eating and drinking. He said, guys, God's with us. We've got his commandment. Pursue, overtake, recover. Say this, pursue, overtake, recover. Say it again, pursue, overtake. That is what God says to the ark. That's what God says to you individually. Don't let the devil or his emissaries, his demonic forces, destroy your marriage, destroy your home, destroy your family, destroy your business, destroy your ministry, destroy your morality, destroy what you have testified to and what you have believed. Don't let those lies poison you. It is going to happen. Pursue, overtake, and recover. Come on, hallelujah. Pursue. Come on, say it again. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. That's it. All. I've been through it. I've seen God in the worst possible time. My young pastor that was going to be my replacement died on Christmas Eve in a car, 20 cars piled up, zero visibility. His wife and his son lay, all three died. I had to, Ralph Mahoney got his little airplane, came and picked me up. I had to go to the mortuary on Christmas Eve, go there and see my pastor, young man that I trained, laying there with all cut up and didn't even clean him up. Their baby all bloodied. The wife. My heart was broken. How could God get any glory out of this? How could God? And the devil was trying to get me to do some things that we've all been tempted to do, question God's great love and compassion. We went through that Christmas having to bury Leif in the hands of his father. And 9 days later, the wife, we buried her. There was a death knell feeling over our church. Don't let the devil take your song. Don't let the devil take your smiles. Don't let the devil take your anointing. Don't let anything cause you to get mad at God, angry, or distrustful. For God loves you, and his arm is reaching out to you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he's going to do it for you, but you're going to get through any kind of difficulty as you put your trust in him. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm about done. Let me give you some things. You got to get dangerous. I'm going to just tell you, you got to get dangerous. The devil's dangerous. He's a mighty force, a mighty power. And yet God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have more power than the devil. You Christians are saying, get the devil off my back. You ought to listen to what Satan's saying. Get the Christian off of my back. He's more frightened of you than you are aware of, because you have the greatest force and the greatest power. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Now, if I hadn't been in the ministry 70 years and seen God do impossible things, in fact, I was raised from the dead at 4 years of age. If I had not seen and witnessed, maybe I would be a little bit slower, but I have witnessed. I had a miracle today. I lost my wallet, and it has credit cards in it that would get me in bad trouble. And I lost it, and I asked God to tell me where it is. And he told me where it is. Don't go back to the coffee shop, and don't go back to Safeway where the last time you used it. You go home and you will find it where you left it. Come on, I'm lying, you know. Here it is with $50,000 in it. Credit cards. And anyone here that don't believe me, you come up here and I'll give you a $100 bill. And I mean it. I'll give you a $100 bill, a phone bill, you know, a gasoline bill or something. I believe it. If there isn't a day goes by, and I say this without bragging, I get an answer to prayer. Maybe it's because I believe. Maybe I believe too much. And Sam will tell you that I believe for my Rolex watch. You still are looking at me like, did it really happen? My watch stopped. It stopped. And I went to the jewelry store here in Honolulu where they bought it. Somebody bought it and gave it to me. And they said, that'll be $1,095. I said, give me my watch back. $1,095. I went to a real honest jeweler, lives closer to my apartment. And I said, and he took it apart, and he said, I bet you went to Bridges or whatever that name is in the mall, and they told you $1,095. I am going to give you a bargain. I said, okay. He said, $895. Give me my watch back. And then I did this. And God could strike me dead. I did this. I put it down. I'm not going to wear a watch that don't work. Will you forgive me for doing this, God? I'm wasting a prayer, people think. But stop right now and fix this watch. Do it. He didn't do it. I put it on the table. I went back, and I saw the hand moving, and it started moving. And I was in a meeting, and the pastor's wife said, I can't go with your daughter to South Africa and Thailand. I don't have the fare. I said, you do now. I said, I'm going to give you the $1,095 that I would have had to pay Bridges at the mall. Come on, hallelujah. I'm not a tightwad, but I don't want to give it. You can ask God for only certain things. No, it said, if two or three of you agree touching anything. Everybody say it, anything. Say anything. All right, this is the end of the sermon. Your comeback, people. I said, your comeback, people. You had to leave one building, your comeback, people. You got another building, your comeback. You're still not where you're going to be, but you're coming back to God's eternal, infallible, incomparable, unadulterated, never lying, never failing, faithful place that you're going to be. Quickly, somebody shout hallelujah.
Put up both hands as high as you can. Now, if anything I said in this message to you, you're going through now, whether it's employment or finances or marriage or children or family or physical or cancer or diabetes or insomnia or worry or depression or bipolar, all right, you stand up, and I want to pray right now. Pastor Mel and Heather, you join me, and you come, honey. You don't even take your walker. Just come here. Hallelujah. You stand up. If something right now that you want God to do in your life, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you want God to do it and it's urgent, put both hands up and keep them up for 30 minutes. No, keep them up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A God who cannot lie. A God who cannot fail. A God that doesn't need a bank loan. He doesn't need a credit card. He will provide. He will supply. He will give you what you need. There will be raises in your pay. There will be new, wonderful employments for some. If you get the door closed, there's another door going to open. If you're sick with cancer, that cancer cell is a demonic thing, and you will be delivered. Cast it out in Jesus' name. Speak to that mountain. Speak to that giant. Speak to that tumor. Speak to that cyst. Speak to that insomnia. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Somebody's going to get this. Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, you're a comeback person. You're a comeback person. If you're married, and know you love your wife, give her a big kiss right now and make sure you get the right one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here, take it.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can go ahead and have your seats real quick. All right, we're living on the edge, and we're on the edge of our time for this morning, but I'm just going to allow our service to go on. We want to let you know that we know that many of you planned to be done at noon, and that's 2 minutes from now. I want to encourage you to at least stay for two more minutes. But if you do need to leave, we understand that. And if you have not made plans to be able to stay longer, we want you to know that if you need to leave, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation, but you are a comeback person, so you should come back tonight. Right? It's going to be amazing tonight, but we still have people that we want to set in, and if you are able to stay, we want to encourage you to stay. We're not doing this for you in the sense of as an audience, but we are doing this because God wanted us to do this, and so we're going to honor God, and we're going to honor him with our schedules and with our time. If you're able to stay, we invite you to stay. Those of you that have children, and if they're getting restless and stuff, please know it's okay. All right, it's totally okay. And those of you that need some snacks and stuff, we might be able to get you some snacks if you need to put something in their hand and in their mouth to keep them busy or something. Probably not sugar, but we'll give you something and we'll help you out. If you need to, you can just take them to the back, defuss them a little bit, but just know that you're not going to disrupt the move of God. We just want you to stay if you can possibly stay. Don't feel like you need to go in any way, all right? We're so blessed also to have Apostle Sam and Nancy Webb here with us. Thank you for coming. And just so that you know, in this house, we do honor women in ministry. We believe that God uses women in ministry. You can look it up in the Bible. You can find out that there were prophetesses. You can find out that Deborah was a judge of the entire Israelite nation. You can find out that God has used women in ministry powerfully throughout the entire time that God's been God. And so we believe that God still uses women in ministry today. And you may disagree with our theology, but we can talk about that later. In the meantime, I want you to know that in this house, we're going to allow for the ladies to minister. And so, Pastor Webb, Sister Nancy, I know that we didn't ask you to be part of the presbytery, but we trust the voice of God in you, and we believe that you are an asset and a depth and a well of anointing. And so we release you to prophesy over the people that we're calling up. Sister Shirley, Sister Heather, if you have a word to share, we believe in the gift of God in you, and we invite you to prophesy over the people that are going to be prophesied over. In just a moment, we're going to be calling up those that are going to be lay leaders, care leaders in our church to prophesy over them. But there's someone really special that we want to start off with, and that's the founding pastor of our church. We believe for fresh vision. We're believing for fresh anointing. We're believing God for a brand new day. So, Pastor Stewart, would you please come, and you can just have a seat on the platform here. Brother Mel, Apostle C, Webbs, if you want to come and join, you're more than welcome to. We've got microphones. Sure, we can bring him down here instead. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Sorry, Pastor Mel.
Everybody just reach your hands out. Amen. Right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody,
hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, just begin to speak in tongues. Upa shalabo kicha balabosinda labashanda. Father, we thank you for this great man of God. You've raised him up, Lord, and the best years are yet to come. Father, we declare, Lord God, that the things that you've established in the past are just the foundation for the coming future. And Lord, we think, we agree that the bigger, the better, and the greater is yet to come. It's not over, Lord. It's just beginning again. And that's what the Lord says to me about you. It is just beginning again. Amen. It's a new chapter of the blessing of God. It's a new chapter of the prosperity and the goodness of God. It's a new chapter of training and raising up leaders for the glory of God. There's one mark that I see in you, and that is this. You like taking people right from the depths of hell itself and raising them up to be successful and prosperous in the house of God. I am going to mantle you with a new anointing to make people successful and to move them forward into their future. You have a background of understanding, revelation, even business practice that can move the people forward. I am opening up new doors and new opportunities for you, and I'm going to prosper you, bless you, and increase you, and give you more success in Jesus' name, and then impart that success to others. The best days are yet to come. Somebody shout hallelujah.
That he is mindful very much that you have heard his directions, his appointments, that you have been a well-watered, fruitful garden. You have been productive. The production will not stop. The production would be impossible for you to ever stop wanting to share your faith, wanting to share your prayers, wanting to share your wonderful counsel, because you have been TP'd, tried and proven, and your better days, if you heard, are ahead. It won't be just behind the pulpits, but it'll be one-on-one. It'll be with people that are hurting, and they will seek you out because the reputation goes, because there is a divine legacy, and you cannot be a candle or a lamp under a bushel. That light shines, and it shines brighter and brighter, and I'm going to supply you with all kinds of opportunity, divine appointments to do the work of the Lord. Your body's going to be refreshed. You're going to regain your strength. You're going to regain your unction to function. You and your beautiful wife, you are now carrying a heavy load of maternal and fraternal needs, but God is going to end all of the difficult moments, and there's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Your wife is a tool, is a ministering, like a ministering angel to people. She has the word of the Lord. So tell her God is pleased. She's not an absentee. She's doing what the heart of the master wants her to do. There's so much love and so much forgiveness and so much healing and so much hope that she's dispensing. And therefore, look for these days of opportunities to share and rejoice and be glad, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, look at everybody. Yeah, Pastor Sam will speak a word. I want you to do this. Take your finger and make a circle. This is a picture of your church. You've had a circle of influence that has taken you this far. But the Lord tells me he's taking the circle off. Come on, amen. And the influence of this church is going to grow. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah.
Yeah,
and I'm sending you as a servant of God to extend the influence of the house of God. Hallelujah. The opportunities, the ministry, even the influence of this church, even this church becoming a multi-site church, come on, amen, is going to go, and your days of new beginnings have just begun.
The uniqueness of your life and gift have just been on display by the presence and the power of God. But even during this time, the Lord says, I'm preparing you for a greater impact in the prophetic. There is a laser-sharp gift in your life, and that's going to go to a new level. And obviously, where there's new levels, there's new devils. And you're going to not only have that impact of being able to declare the word of the Lord, but to see the impact of that gift bringing down darkness and expanding the light, even in the islands, in a new and a unique way.
Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, reach your hands out. And we declare, by these prophecies, war, a good warfare. Everybody said, war, a good warfare, Lord. We set this man and his beautiful wife, Lord, into a new future, into a new day. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
And
I just sense that the Holy Spirit is visiting you even now, though you're not here in a physical sense. There's no distance. There's no obstructions. There's nothing that can stop this word. The word is alive. The Lord said he's pleased. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with the ministries that you now are really involved in. He's given you wisdom. He's given you understanding. He's given you the gift of helps. He's given you mercy gifts. He has given you giving gifts. He's given you teaching gifts. And you're a prophetic voice to women as well as to men and younger women and younger people. The word of the Lord has been tried. It's been proven in your life. You will be healthy. You will be strong. You will not lack for that is necessary and essential. The days of your life will be filled, full. They are going to be not drudgery, another case, another delivery, another this, with joy, with excitement, with smiles, and with confidence. You are going to be my spokesman, my hands extended. You are going to be one who really proves love and care and concern. And I'm going to water you, and you're going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. The word's going to come alive to you. How are you going to do all of this and yet be responsible for these things because of my grace and my power, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
By the way, he wasn't prophesying over the phone. He was prophesying to Pastor Mari. But we just wanted to lay our hands on you as your pastors now, I guess, to just set this sending anointing upon you. Father, I thank you that from this house that we can place an anointing upon Pastor Stewart, upon Pastor Mari, God, for the job that you have for them to do. Lord, we thank you for a fresh anointing, for a new season. God, we thank you that it's breaking forth, that it's breaking up from the deep. Lord, we thank you for the open doors. We thank you for continued vision. We thank you for continued ministry. God, we thank you for the nations. We thank you for the islands. God, we thank you that you're opening doors that no man can shut. And Father, we thank you for the influence and for the favor that you're giving them as they minister to leaders, as they minister to pastors, as they minister to those that may even be on the outskirts of things. Lord, we thank you that you help them as they shepherd people into their flocks and into their churches and into leadership in their churches. We thank you for that gifting, for that calling, and we send them from this house as you so choose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're going to ask if Jason and Kelly Patterson, if Lekka and Melanie Sunia, and if Warren and Michelle Nakamura would just come and join us up here, as well as Pastor Faye. Pastor Faye, are you still here? Yeah, would you guys come and join us? Just go ahead and take a seat next to your spouse, your respective spouse. And these people are people that already have the heart of a pastor operating in them. Without any kind of a title, we're not conferring any titles today, but we're simply imparting the anointing and the grace that they need to function in the capacity of under-shepherds to help us to care for the flock. They've already been doing it, but they're going to be resourced by the anointing of God. They're going to be resourced to be able to do what God has called them to do in a brand new capacity at a new level. God's going to begin to just put onto you the mantle of pastoring and of shepherding. He's going to begin to put upon you the mantle to be able to care and to lead with courage from your heart the people that are in your areas and the people that God is calling you to. And you're going to know the ones that are part of that flock that you're taking care of. But God's going to continue to resource you. He's going to upgrade you today, furnish you today with the giftings, the calling, and the choosing that you need to flow the way that you're going to flow. Church family, as they get prophesied over, would you please just extend your faith? You're going to need faith for them to grow and to step into and to help, to lead and to guide and to pastor you guys. Would you just begin? You can just pray in the Holy Spirit under your breath as you listen. If there's a word that hits your heart, just grab it.
You know, I can see the picture of David's men. They were called mighty men, mighty women. I can see the picture as they were going to war. You are entering a new dimension of warfare. You are now a part of the team that's going to recover, get the spoils, David's spoils. For God, you're going to bring the spoils. And it says they did not lack. And so I just say to you, you are going to be so honored with the fact that God chose you and he made you a part of this dynamic team. Mighty men and mighty women, you have been chosen. You have been called and chosen to be part of this great team. And it's going to be teamwork. You will pray for one another. You will pray for one another. And the word of the Lord to every one of you, just like they are becoming a part of the team, you need to find your brother or sister that you can relate to and say, will you pray for me? Right now, even as I'm here, people are praying for me. And the word of the Lord is, you need to have prayer partners. You need to be teaming up. You need someone that's got your back. Here's a bunch of wonderful people that have the back, are carrying the warfare and bringing their talents and their giftings to the war, and you're going to win the battle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this team. Everybody reach your hands out. I'm going to increase you, give you more favor in the realm of your business and future. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to lift you up, even not only to be an influence and a pastor and a leader in this house, a caregiver, but I'm going to put you in a place of high places in this community, says the living God. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to raise you up as a voice in this community for my glory, and you're going to be a tool for reaching many people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even the high ranking and people in the high places are going to come into the knowledge of the kingdom of God because of your influence, says the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to give you, sister, the gift of healing. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to deal with discernment of spirits. You're going to have a special gift of bringing deliverance and help to people. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. People are coming into this house broken and demonized, and I'm going to give you and make you a minister of healing and a minister of deliverance. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, man of God, I'm going to give you faith for this house. Come on, somebody, hallelujah. There are certain individuals in a church that carry the faith of that church. Amen. Others follow the faith. Pastor has the faith. But then there's a team of workers and leaders that carry the vision and carry the faith. I'm giving you the faith for the forward move of this church, says the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody's going to have to believe God for the money. And this man's going to have the gift of faith that's going to operate. Somebody shout hallelujah. This woman is going to have a special ministry to women. God's going to raise her up to teach and preach and help and train even the younger women of the flock. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring the distressed and the wounded and the hurting and the single moms to you, says the Lord. And you're going to heal them and raise them up, amen, and train them and mentor them. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. This woman has an ability to move things around. She sees things that others don't see. Others are blinded and they can't see it. But this girl right here, she can see solutions to people's problems. She can see even solutions to issues that are in the local church. Come on, amen. And God's going to give you the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to know exactly what needs to be done. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. God is raising up a team. None of them are the same. Everyone is unique and different. Hallelujah. This man has the ability to move the mountains, to speak to the issues, to deal with the problems, to say to the mountain, be removed in Jesus' name. I'm making you a mountain-moving man in the house of God, a man of prayer, a man of distinction, a man of honor, hallelujah, and a man that moves God's house forward. Come on, hallelujah. And this woman has a grace about her to walk into people's lives, amen, and be the salt that just is the seasoning that people need. Come on, amen. To be the light that people need, to be the knowledge that people need in the house of God. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Look at these leaders and say to them as a corporate group, God is raising up a team. Come on, say it again. God is raising up a team, not only for this church, but for the community. Because this church, you're going to have influence. Not just, you're not just being set in for the church. You're being set in to influence a whole realm. Hallelujah. A whole community of people that are going to come to the knowledge of God. I want to prophesy this church is getting ready for growth, increase, and multiplication. You're getting ready for growth, increase, and multiplication. And this thing's going to start popping loose. You've been at certain numbers even in your church. All of a sudden, this thing's going to grow 400, 500, 600. And you're going to grow. You're going to move this church to 1,000 people. Come on, amen. Get ready for what I am about to do.
Well, there's no time frame when the word of the Lord comes. You act on it. It'll begin right now. The gifts that have been imparted, they begin now. You know, they told me I'm going to prophesy some more, so I'm going to prophesy. Amen. And as I was sitting there, the Lord said about all of you that he brought to mind the story of Abraham and how the Lord came to him and gave him the promise of being a father of many nations. Of to look at the stars, to look at the sand of the sea. And it's interesting because when God told him to look at the stars, it was in the daytime that God told him to do that, because it says later on, as the sun was setting, you know, so it was in the daytime. Said to look at the sand of the sea, count it. He was nowhere near the sea, couldn't see it. But somehow he saw the stars, somehow he saw the sands of the sea. And God's going to give you commands to see and to look at and to believe for things you cannot see with the natural eyes. And not only is it important what he saw, it's also important what he didn't see. He did not see any barriers between him and the sand of the sea. He didn't see any ceiling above him that blocked his vision of the stars and of the heavens. And God's going to, when he speaks to you to look, he's going to remove the hindrances. Don't build ceilings. Don't build mountains. But look beyond them. See through God's eyes at what he has planned for you. Because as Pastor Apostle C says, there are no limitations except what we build. God is calling you not to build limitations, but to be limitless in him. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's thank God for what he's done. Amen. Come on, reach your hands
thank
out
you,
to
Lord.
Them and just
thank you,
speak in tongues and pray. Because a prophecy is just a little piece. God wants to even reveal more to them individually based upon what the little bit they've heard. Amen. Yes.
I just want to tell you as your pastor, fear not. Fear not. The Lord is with you. And wherever the sole of your foot will tread, he's already given you that ground. And I just want to declare over you boldness. I want to declare over you peace. I want to declare over you grace, the ability of God. And I want to declare over you that God's going to give you insights. There's things that came into operation just now that you've never experienced before. But it's going to take a step of faith to go from where you are to where you need to be. And when you begin to step, see, Peter didn't, water wasn't solid until Peter stepped onto it. And then all of a sudden, when he stepped, it got solid under his feet. And you might just find that there's times where God calls for you to step. And you're going to need to step, and it's not going to be solid. It won't even look like it's solid. No one's ever done it before, but all of a sudden you're going to step, and God will make it be solid under your feet. God's going to do miracles for you. He's going to do supernatural things for you. And you, it's going to just feel so natural. It's going to take faith, but it'll feel natural. It's like, how did I do that? You didn't do it. God did it. God did it, but fear not. Just be obedient. Amen. Father, we just lay our hands on these wonderful men and women of God. Father, we lay our hands upon them and we set them into the role of being care leaders in this house. Father, to have the heart of a shepherd, to have the mind of a shepherd. Father, for them to not have their own voice, but to echo the voice of God, to echo the voice of the Spirit. God, you said that your sheep know your voice, and the voice of another they will not heed, but they will run from it. So God, I pray that they will not have their own voice, but they will have the voice of the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you that they will have wisdom, that they will have grace, that the mercy and the strength and the anointing of God is going to enable them to do what they need to do in this house and in this place. We thank you for them. We just set them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody said amen.
You know, I just want to say one last thing before we begin to close today, that these people don't come alone. They have family. And many people are afraid to step into a role of leadership because they've heard horror stories about the way that people are treated. And, you know, I've seen the way that my parents were treated sometimes, and it's not right. But, you know, God protected me. God protected my sister. And I just want to say that I believe for your families and for the kids that are here today, Taylor and Jonah and Junior and Kepu and Luca and Ofena and all the Pattersons, Lana Keela and Gabby and brother.
Pastor, I want to say a prayer.
Yeah.
I want to say a prayer. I'm living this. And I'm telling it everywhere I go, and I made God a promise, I'm going to do it. So everybody, raise your hand over your head like this. Every single day, your kids go to school or college or work. Every single day, when they get old enough, now they're going to be driving cars, like I say, that weigh a ton. I say, Lord, cover my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, with the blood of Jesus. Say that right now. Name your children if you want to. Cover them with the blood. My wife, my husband, go ahead. You call their name. It doesn't take long to call the name. That's why four Kenneth Tracys that totaled their car, not one of them got a scratch. We can replace the car. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood that covers our children, covers our family, covers our house. Thank God for the blood. And when I see the blood, the death angel has to pass over that house. Come on. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank God the blood of Jesus is powerful. Never lost its power. You're under the blood, the precious blood. Yes, you're under the blood. You've been marked. You've been marked. Thank God. Thank God. There's an invisible fence all around you. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yeah, please, please.
Just one last word about tonight. We're wrapping up the service this morning. Tonight, God's going to take this church, the Ark Church, to another level.
Yes.
Literally,
amen.
You're going to feel an anointing that will come on you corporately. You will literally receive a corporate level anointing that will take you, your family, your future, even your business, everything you're involved in. It's not just the church, because when God gets in the church, it lifts your family, lifts your business. Everything just steps up another level. Come back tonight and believe God for this new thing that God's going to do. This church is being pushed into its future as of today. Yes. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Yes. And you're gonna see things radically change in the next just months to come. Amen. Come on back tonight. We're going to trust God for another level of great anointing. Amen.
Well, we love you guys.
Thank
tonight,
God.
We start right at 5 o'clock. And we hope that you'll join us at 5. We're going to start with prayer, but we don't consider that pre-service prayer. We consider that part of service. And so we encourage you to come, be on time. If you would, I just real practical, you may not have done a lot of meetings like this, but can I give you something real practical? Go eat something that's healthy, and then go take a rest, and get ready to come back and receive on all cylinders from the Holy Ghost tonight. 5 o'clock. Don't miss it. We love you. Be blessed.